Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast, an increasingly more frequent Rule the Roost. It's funny what kind of being trapped in your house for a quarter of a year will do for your free time and what have you. Raj Baines, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad. Pull yourself.
Yeah, all right. I'm kind of...
Sounds convincing.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a funny state of flux at the moment. Mostly Spurs related. Being honest, let's just dive straight into it. So we're recording off the back end of the 0-0 with Bournemouth. There's a lot of takes as the internet likes to supply us with in plentiful fashion about whether it's Enoch, whether it's Mourinho. Should he stay? Should he go? Should we get Poch back? Should we get Nagelsmann in? Just in kind of condensed a fashion as you can, mate, at the moment, what's your sort of knee-jerk initial response to what you're seeing at Spurs at the moment?
The unconsidered, unthought-of version is to just pretend this season never happened, bring Poch back, and then go again next year with a few different players. But I don't think that's the likely or reality of what's going to happen. But that would be my knee-jerk opinion.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, because obviously Mourinho is going to carry the brunt of a lot of this. You know, he's definitely no longer the darling of the football press. It's funny what being an outward prick to a load of people that write about you will do for your kind of relationships with them, isn't it? So if I'm being brutally honest, again, I do caveat all of this with I don't particularly like Mourinho. I get why we brought him in to a degree. I'm not particularly convinced by what I'm seeing at the moment. However, I do think there's a lot of, there's a lot of people who have agendas, shall we say, that are enjoying the confirmation bias that they're seeing with regard to Mourinho being a spent force, Mourinho being a dinosaur, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So much so that I think it's somewhat OTT. I think, there's a willful ignorance to just how bad, basically Spurs were after Christmas last year under Pochettino. My knee-jerk is the nucleus of this squad no longer want to play for Tottenham. It's not about playing for Mourinho. It's about not wanting to play for Tottenham. I think the tip of it where we probably spoke about it on the pod at the time, the awkward and, oh no, it's starting to unravel point of this was Rose and Walker, right? When Walker fucked off, it was basically like, why wouldn't I leave? They pay me fuck all. They're going to win fuck all. They don't sign any big players. And then Rose went to the Sun and said pretty much exactly the same thing. And from that point, we've seen kind of Vertonghen's form start to fall off, but him obviously start to look a bit disinterested. Alderweireld definitely, fuck knows what happened there, but people are forgetting that we've basically had him in prison for the past two seasons. Like, there was something weird with him and Pochettino for Christ knows how long. So again, this kind of Mourinho's dropped him from the starting lineup, I don't really buy as a thing. Eriksen, we all know what's happened there. You know, Dembele, the club cashed in on him. Kieran Trippier said as much in his interview. Trippier fucked off. I know he wasn't particularly, you know, a fan's favourite, but still, you know, the circumstances under which he left. And you would...
I don't think he wanted to go, though.
No, and you would consider him like a core member of that squad. Whether or not you rated him, he was the backup to Walker. Yeah. And he was a solid...
And he wasn't replaced.
Yeah, and... Yeah, he was a solid enough backup, really, to Walker.
Yeah,
but there were issues there. You're starting to see it now bleed into even the likes of Son. You know, whatever people say about Son and Lloris, they shook it off. They're professionals. This sort of stuff happens all the time. Come on, we all know what happened against Everton. That's not normal. That's not a harmonious, healthy squad. I appreciate, yeah, they're under pressure. They're all alpha males. They all want to, like, trigger the best from each other. But that public...
I imagine it happens every game behind closed doors. Course, but it's not a publicly viewing thing.
So there's obviously a rot there. But, you know, I'm not willing to just... Because I think it's disingenuous just to say, this is all Mourinho. We get rid of Mourinho, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying, by the way, but we get rid of Mourinho and this all goes away. But, you know, it doesn't also mean that I think Mourinho is the man that's going to fix this and make this all right either.
No, I think you're right. I think if it was to give my non-knee-jerk opinion on the matter, it started to go wrong when we failed to invest for... two seasons, effectively.
Yeah.
And that was, at the time, the short-term gain of that was consistency, and we saw that in the performances and the results. But long-term, we effectively shortened the shelf life of that squad, gave them a very small window in which to perform and to win things, which they failed to do. And... because we hadn't invested in the squad and then didn't after that as well, it sort of compounded all of those things.
Yeah.
And it was something that Pochettino was very public about in the press, his want to refresh the squad. I understand there was, you know, finances we needed to have for the stadium and everything. So that's a different concern and another thing that sort of the club had to take into account. And having, you know, we've both been there, we both know how good it is and how good of a job they've done on the ground. That's not something we can really raise our noses at. That or, you know, the training ground before it, I think
yeah.
that the infrastructure of the club has completely changed. And that's one thing that you really can't take away from the ownership or the management of the squad, but the management of the squad has been negligent, and to the point where, you know, if you strip it back and think of it how they would in terms of, not in terms of like players that we love and things, but in terms of like assets and what have you, we have mismanaged our prize assets. Harry Kane's been gaining muscular injuries once per season for long stretches because he simply doesn't have a backup, and we've got no other option but to play him in every single game. And
look,
when we don't play him, we end up with...
playing now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, after 6 months of not having played a game of competitive football, I'm not sure. He's not been subbed off yet, has he?
No, not at all.
So he's played every second of it. So that's he's on a fast track to pull in something, and that's another 6 months of his career possibly down the bin, which is, and it's a short career as it is, especially for the top tier talent. That'll be another thing that is sort of playing on his mind, because he knows that he's got a very small window in which to succeed and be successful. But it's that short-term gain that we got for those good seasons has now come back to bite us in the arse, and there was always going to be a sting in the tail, but that could have been managed by, if we brought in two or three players each window and just had them in the back burner and had them rotating, they would have been ready to take over.
Well,
if Sessegnon had come in
even
a season or two before and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at even like, you know, Liverpool at the moment, they brought in a player like Minamino who's not doing anything at the moment, and they brought in Keita again who's not really come in and made an immediate impact, but they're just there kind of almost incubating, getting used to like the Liverpool squad. And also what they do is they provide that kind of looming shadow, if you like, for current first team players, as in like, well, I've seen that lad in training. Yeah, he's not going to take my place anytime soon, but he's there and he's there for a reason. I think maybe they brought in yep. Shaqiri for a similar reason. He's whatever, got other things. But on Spurs, I mean, part of the issue I see as well is that even if, okay, we had that window where we had to take into consideration, whether you like it or not, we took into consideration the fact that we were building a stadium. That takes a lot of money. The club simply don't have the resources to go out and spend X amount on a marquee signing. Fine. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like you say, in terms of asset management, for as much as Enoch are lauded for their incredible business acumen, to me,
yeah,
it's, and this is totally bloat down the pub opinion, I know this, but if you're just looking at it in a layman's sense, it's just such poor business sense and it's such poor yeah. business asset management to not even then think, well, okay, we're not signing new players, but let's at least refresh the squad. Let's give Eriksen a big new contract. Let's give Alderweireld a big new contract. Let's not get these players who are, to be honest, a collection of world-class players that Spurs probably haven't seen in such a concentrated fashion ever. Why are we driving them to the point of going to the fucking sun for a clandestine, what, and whatever people want to say about Rose being outspoken, he was obviously speaking on behalf of a number of players in that squad that had been driven to a point of feeling like, well, I'm seeing this chairman post out these smug open letters constantly about record profits, about the club being so frugally won, about attracting tier one, you know, insurance brands from Christ knows where in the world that are investing multi-million pound sums, NFL deals, so on and so forth. Yet I'm still getting paid 50 grand a week, whereas I'm seeing somebody who plays for a club like fucking Stoke or something earning more money than me. Like, I just cannot begin to get on board with that, like, as you say, short-sighted vision from... That it's almost like a lack of emotional intelligence to understand our players as people as well, who know their own worth and know what they contributed and the sweat and the toil that they put into alongside Pochettino, making our club so much better and so much more, you know, a proposition that is worthy of all this investment that we've seen create this incredible infrastructure. But I just think on a very base level, the board have just had such hubris. They haven't realized that this is, of course, what's going to happen. What we're seeing now is what's going to happen if you don't manage, at least if you don't get your ship in order, because if results carry on the way they are, and if we keep losing players and not reinvesting, like, fuck, is that stadium going to be full? Like,
yeah,
it's just not, you know?
Well, that's the thing now at this point, is they've got to keep up appearances as well, and they literally can't afford to have this level of performance. They've become reliant on having a successful on-field operation to feed into what their off-field concerns are. And there's a couple of things that you just said there, and I think hindsight's 20/20, but there's a couple of things that we could have done completely differently. You brought up sort of Alderweireld and Eriksen and giving them big new contracts. I think the opposite was possible as well. As soon as we realised they wanted to go, we could have got twice the amount of money for both of them than we might have done right towards the end, and that could have gone back into buying two or three new players. Or if we get paid 60, 70, 80 million for Eriksen, which he would have been worth at his peak the second he wanted to go, that is the money toward a marquee signing, or straight away a marquee signing of their own calibre. And we could have done that. We could have spent that straight on a Bruno Fernandes or something of a similar ilk, brought in Lo Celso a couple of seasons earlier or something like that, and we would have been well on our way to refreshing the squad periodically. I think because of the overperformance of that squad under Pochettino, we became reliant on miracles. And that is not a position in which you want to be in, because that's unsustainable.
Yeah.
We always knew it was unsustainable, but you get caught up in it. And I think we as fans were just as culpable as the ownership were, because we were enjoying the success, we were enjoying the football we were playing, and we didn't want to let that go. And I think because we're so unfamiliar with that, and because we're such a sentimental fan base and club in general, I think more than most others, I think, you know, Liverpool, they do the this means more and everything, but I think when it comes to players and when it comes to squads and things, I think Spurs, I don't know what it is about us, but we tend to either hate somebody or love them to the point of it being perhaps a little bit overwrought even. And this is only something you see in hindsight, because when you're in that moment and when you're in that bubble, you can't see the wood for the trees. That's just where your mind is. And I think had we been less sentimental and just dealt players and dealt in the market a bit more sort of shrewdly and sort of cold-bloodedly, we might have been in a better position than we are now. Because even in those heydays, even when we had Rose and Walker at the very best and that last season at the Lane and everything, we only ever had 11 good players in terms of we had a very, very good first 11.
Yeah.
And everything below that was not even one tier below, but several. The drop-off was huge. And it was one of those situations where if two or three of that first 11 were missing, you noticed it. If it was one, then we could just about manage. But if it was several, then we couldn't. I think the Dembele point is separate as well. I genuinely think that was a mercy sale. I actually think the club did right by him, because he wanted one last big contract.
Yeah,
fair. And his body had abandoned him, and I think he admitted as much.
Broken, wasn't he? He was totally broken by the end.
He wanted to go play in a slow league where he could go earn a few, you know, a few coins before he had to inevitably retire. And I think he could have put, he probably gets what, three seasons in China out of probably half a season in the Premier League, if you think of the sort of the strain on his body and what we're expecting of him, because he was so relied upon and such a fulcrum of the midfield and the entire team. That was a pressure in itself, and I think he couldn't do it anymore, and he knew he couldn't do it anymore, and we just let him go. And I don't, as nice as it would have been to have him there until the end of that Champions League season, I think we
would have been nice if we could loan him back for the final, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think we effectively put the curtain up and you know, shot the horse with the broken leg on the track to be nice to it. You know, we sent him to China to be turned into glue, and it is just, it's one of those things where we knew this was going to happen at some point. We knew it wasn't always going to be the case that we were as good as we were at the very peak of Pochettino. And the unfortunate thing for Mourinho, because I'm not one of those people that actually hates him. I've got a begrudging amount of respect for him. He's not my favourite type of person in the world. He doesn't play the football I like or things like that. But I've never been somebody who hates him, because I kind of see through the way he is in the press, because I don't believe that's the type of person he is behind closed doors. Yeah. I think he has a very purposeful persona that he believes in order to portray himself in a certain way towards the public. And with his squads, he must behave in a completely separate way. It's the only thing that makes sense, because otherwise he just wouldn't be employed and nobody would ever want to play football for him, and he'd never have been successful, because this sort of behaviour towards the press and the way he speaks and everything isn't something new. It's something he's done since we've become aware of him. And it was something that even before he was successful at Porto was, you know, he was known as a spiky character even back in those days. So it's not as if this is a, you know, old grumpy Mourinho or something like that. I know he tried to say he was the happy one when he came back to Chelsea, but that was, again, a very purposeful thing after, you know, people had assumed he'd become narky and stuff when he'd gone to Madrid and that. But I do feel a bit of sympathy for him, because he's come in at the very end of the cycle for this squad, and I'm not sure he even knew how bad it was, because it, from the outside looking in, while he was at Man United trying to buy our players, he would have thought, oh, look, I've got this potential for talent here, this will be brilliant, the squad on paper is excellent.
Well,
but when he's come in and realised that...
It needs a bit of like the final bit of juice ringing from it, and I can probably get this lot an FA Cup, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, but the batteries are dead. It's not just dead now, it's been running on empty for a season and a half. So there's nothing to wring out of it. And probably a new bloke coming in and trying to get an extra 10% out of you when you've already been given 150 for 2 years, it's probably just going to put your nose out of joint even more and just not going to be able to reach his levels. So we're not even going to get that new manager bounce because the players have no bounce left. Right. And
This very conveniently leads me onto a little exercise that I've actually gone into. Me and exercise, you know, it's not two words that are often closely associated, but
and me and you both, mate.
You're looking godly at the moment, mate. You're looking godly, so don't do yourself a disservice.
You can be cringe afterwards when we've stopped recording.
Yeah, all right. I've written down basically our kind of squads to choose from, match day squad. And I just thought, because there's a lot of talk about refresh, overhaul, so on and so forth, let's just go through the players individually, just in short, in as brief as we can, and just pretty much pick out where we're at. Because it's quite obvious that we do need a wholesale investment, which we're not going to get.
Entire squad at some point needed replacing 2 seasons ago, yeah. And with 4 to 6 windows, you can effectively buy 2 to 3 players each time and bit by bit redo the squad. And it would have been those where probably next season, when it comes to the first team in August and we put the first team out, people go, there's only 2 players remaining from Tottenham's team in 2013 or something like that. You know when people do that sort of easy clickbait shit. But now we can't buy 12 players in a season or a window because that doesn't work. That's not how it works. They won't become homogenous. They will not gel, and you'll effectively fuck yourself even harder because you've tried to do it all at once. And this is a squads and football, and especially at this level that we're trying to play at, is entirely cyclical, and it has to be constant progression. Even in the face of playing well, you have to constantly progress. Look at Barcelona, that always get it right, and they're just the example that comes to mind at the moment, but they will roll the dice. They will buy Griezmann when they've already got Dembele, Messi, yeah. Suarez and whatever, because he's younger, and when Suarez gets older, he can slot in there, or when Messi might go, he's just there. And there's a fine balance to strike, because you don't want to become a talent farm, and you don't want to have 60 players out on loan like Chelsea do, and you don't want to have players as good as Leroy Sané not playing the way that City do. But you have to have a constant overturn of players. You have to be letting people go. I mean, Barcelona could have left, you know, Xavi and Iniesta. They could have tried to keep on hold of them a few more years and offered them some more money. But when Xavi says he wants to go to Al Ahly and whatever, they let him go when he wants to go. And then they bring in Frankie de Jong, and they bring in new midfielders, Arturo Vidal and stuff. They're constantly buying new players. And obviously their pockets are deeper than ours. But even at a club that successful, they're not trying to keep everything together at once. They're constantly progressing. They're constantly looking for marginal gains.
Do you think that?
And we haven't had that mentality.
Part of the issue Spurs face, though, is that we're still not quite the club. And I think we've probably run into this with getting a second foil for Harry Kane. We're still not quite the club that's attractive enough for a player to come knowing that he's going to be spending a lot of time on the bench and waiting for an opportunity. And a player of a certain quality is what I mean by that, that is going to come and be prepared to fight for a place. I still think we're
I don't
on
think we're
that.
Far off now.
No, we're not far off, but I still think we have been for the past years on that precipice whereby
I think the difference is, I don't think it's the perception of the size of the club. I think it's the wages.
That's definitely a big part of it as well, yeah.
If somebody's going to go sit on the bench at City or PSG or Real Madrid or something, they're still going to get paid $200,000 a week to do it. So that'll make their mind up for them.
But I think we found exactly that. Like a prime example of this is somebody like Ross Barkley, who I think we were kind of in for, but it was like Potter was like, well, he's not going to walk into my first team, but yeah, great, let's get him in and we can have him about the place, if you like. But he's obviously been like, well, I'm getting offered double the money to do the same thing at Chelsea, who, to be honest, probably still, even though they don't look as good as Spurs at the moment, are probably, and I'm talking about at the point of us signing, potentially signing him, in the long run, I've got more chance of winning something at Chelsea. I'm going to get paid a lot more, and I'm not going to walk into the first team. Why would I go to Spurs? You know, and that, I think that's the issue we face. But if we're talking about Tottenham now being a type of club, and this is the point that I get when people say, like, this player, for example, Højbjerg, yeah, great, very solid player, so on and so forth. He can come in, and we probably need a player like him, a disciplined, positional kind of defensive midfielder that can just allow Lo Celso and Ndombele, Winks, whoever else, more freedom to play. But we're talking about, like,
we haven't had a specialist defensive midfielder for years.
No.
Since Wanyama.
Oh, please don't. 16, 17 Wanyama, man. I cry thinking about how good we had it with him.
Have I ever on this podcast run you through my theory that we've got a defensive midfielder curse?
No, please do. Take the stage, mate.
Wilson Palacios.
Yeah.
His brother got murdered. Yeah. And then he never recovered. Sandro constantly crocked.
Yeah. Well, he had that one massive injury that basically almost literally ended his career, didn't he?
Well, I think it effectively has, because he's not playing anywhere of note. He went to QPR and then hardly ever played.
What, it was like something horrendous, then, like a blood clot that made his legs swell up or something, wasn't it? One of those type of things.
No idea, but he had something where he just constantly... He was the best defensive midfielder. You remember the Gareth Bale season, the one where he went to Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Well, up until Sandro got injured, he was our best player that season, even better than Gareth Bale.
Sandro, AC Milan away, mate. Like, you know.
And that was like his first breakout performance as well, before he even became decent.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had that. Scott Parker was right at the tail end of his career, so I'm not sure that counts. Because there was effectively two seasons where he was just Scott Parker, and that was about it. He did what he needed to do for two seasons. It wasn't really a big investment. Victor Wanyama's had massive injuries. Moussa Dembele, massive injuries. Just, I can't think of a defensive midfielder we've had that has actually managed to stay fit.
Well, I mean, even Eric Dier, mate.
A decade.
Eric Dier was a very, very... Like, people are very revisionist, in my opinion, as to...
He was brilliant for a couple of years.
Eric Dier was brilliant. He was a brilliant player. Like, you know.
And hasn't he effectively, like, up until now, just kept on having, like, illnesses that he couldn't get over, rather than even, like, injuries?
Is it appendicitis or something like that?
Yeah, he had his appendix out at one point, and then he kept on getting, like, just severely ill.
Yeah, related to that, I believe. Like, it's, you know, yeah, it's sound, and it's such a crucial kind of position and function within a sort of team that wants to play this expansive, fluid football like Tottenham do.
Every big modern club has a specialist defensive midfielder, and we have been unable to.
Yep. So if we're looking at Tottenham as a club that wants to, essentially now, if you're looking at challenging for the title, the bar has been set as such now that you're looking at probably 95 plus points, I would say now, is what you're going to have to aim for. That's what you're aiming
for. You're allowed one
loss
a season.
Yeah, you know, and that's about it. If we are looking at Tottenham being a club that is, as we were, 15, 16, 16, 17, not so much 17, 18, challenging again for top honours, and we're going down our squad, like, start on Lloris. At the moment, for me, like if we're looking at now rebuilding Mourinho, what's a priority? Where do we go? Lloris is somebody that he will need replacing, but is he urgent yet?
No, but we should be buying his replacement already. We should have a Paul Lopez sat in our playing the odd cup game and coming into the squad to learn off him and learn the system and everything now. So that he's ready to take over when Lloris gets old and we can sell him back to Nice or wherever he wants to end his career. because he's not, because of his physical attributes, he's not going to be one of those goalkeepers who plays until he's 40 like Buffon. Because no. Well, he might play until he's 40, but he's not going to be good until he's 40 because his pace will go. For example, that save he made last night, one-on-one, is purely because he's so quick off his line and his reactions are there. And as soon as that pace goes, he's going to be a massive liability. And as much as I love him, and as much as I think a lot of the criticism he gets is unwarranted because he makes as many miraculous saves still as he does Ricks, he needs a better second study because both Gazzaniga and Vorm are wank. And we need somebody who is going to be capable of taking over.
But then it's also like that backup then needs a decent backup as well, you know?
Hopefully we've got somebody in the academy who's worthy of being a third keeper who just doesn't play.
I honestly think as long as I've been a Tottenham fan, we've always said, maybe we've got an academy keeper, it'll be all right.
We've never had a good academy keeper. It's one of those really hard things. I think you get one every, like, maybe 20 years. Even, like, Man United have never had a good academy keeper until now. It's only Dean Henderson that's come through.
And even he looks a bit dodgy anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's having a good season at Sheffield United, but I still think at that top level I don't know. Maybe. But that's harsh, though. He's very young.
Goalkeepers are really hard to judge who come through because they're either like a come through at a lower league club like Joe Hart did at Shrewsbury, or they're foreign. And foreign goalkeepers tend to be better than the English ones for some reason.
Oh, mate, come on. Don't start all that, yeah, fella. All right. Serge Aurier.
All lives matter.
Yeah.
What did you say, sorry?
Fuck's sake. Right, Serge Aurier.
Yeah, he's an absolute idiot.
He is honestly, I get he's got plenty of positive attributes, whatever, but overall as a complete package, I would honestly say, relatively speaking, he is one of the worst players I've ever seen at Tottenham, honestly. And I'm talking relatively speaking, relative to the club and our aspirations and where we are to the rest of the squad. I just think
he's got no redeeming qualities either because he's not a likable person
crime.
Either.
He's just a war crime from top to bottom. Like, I cannot get
even
on board
during
with
Corona,
him.
He's been going out and getting his hair cut when he shouldn't and not been like at all apologetic about it. There is no redeeming features to him. It's not like he's an excellent footballer who gets away with being a prick because he's amazing on the field. He's largely shit on the field and an even bigger shit off it.
But I see this bollocks. So the other thing is people say, yeah, well, at least he can deliver a cross. Like, fucking when? You throw enough shit at a wall. Like, he had so many chances last night. And across this
to be
hole
fair,
kind of locked. Oh, mate.
The one good cross in 100 that he does put in is an absolute pearl, but there is 99 fine. Wank ones to go with it.
And then people say, well, yeah, but, you know, he's got the athleticism to track back. Yeah, he does, but he'll track back and fucking foul someone. Or, you know, he's...
Give a penalty away.
Or he's generally tracking back because he's not read the game sufficiently enough to see what's going to happen, and thus he's always recovering anyway. Bin, like, get rid. What do you make of Max?
He's not
Sarans?
Intelligent enough to be playing football at this level.
I quite like the look of a Norwich lad. He looks all right.
That's the type of signing we could be doing because it's affordable and there's a high upside to that. But again, I'm not sure what Max Aarons does under Mourinho.
Yeah.
Because he's not been too sort of... He's not wanted to play Sessegnon at all. And there's talk of him going out on loan even. So I'm just... That type of signing would have made me really excited under Pochettino. And I think there is still a hangover and a heartbreak on us not having gotten over that, which maybe we need to... try and have a word with ourselves and actually do and try and, you know, acknowledge that there's going to be some change going forward and that isn't our reality anymore. But, that is a signing that I would like to see and support. The other one I like from Norwich is that Buendia. He looks fantastic.
He looks decent, would
be affordable. Kind of like a bit of a money ball signing, which I don't like saying because it is a bit wanky, but he'd be brilliant. He's not an Ericsson replacement, but he fits in the systems that we play and would be happy to play the odd game on the bench. Isn't going to exactly turn his nose up at being left out of a Champions League game because he's just come from Norwich. Who are you? But He's got to, but he'll play enough games in the Premier League and be good enough to actually perform and sort of do. Because if he's performing in a shit Norwich team, then he's going to perform with better players around him.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Davinson Sanchez. I feel like we're going to disagree on this one, maybe.
I really like Davinson. And the thing with him is, he needs his hand-holding. When he plays next to Juan Foyth or Eric Dier, his hand isn't being held and he's not being talked through the game, and then he becomes slightly erratic. And I think that's his downfall. I think he's still young and he's very raw. I think he's got the physical potential and even the defensive ability to be a top-tier modern centre-back. He just needs Toby or Jan next to him to keep him on a leash, essentially. Because his performances are night and day when he is. His best performances for us have been when he's been between the two of them in a in a three, because they can both almost keep him, you know, sat and steady. But I really like him. I don't think he should be one that's on the for sale block at all, but I do think he needs to, and there is so much more potential for him to kick on, and he could not do that. But I think in the right partnership and in the right system and in the right club given time, he would be fantastic, and I'd hate to see him sold somewhere boring for him to then turn up at Juve or Barca or something like that in 2-3 years and be one of the best centre backs in the world, because I think that's a distinct possibility.
See, I think I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of what you've said there. I disagree with you in the respect of you liking him, because I don't particularly like him. And I think it's not disagreeing with you as such. It's more just that I think I'm probably less forgiving of that hand-holding kind of thing. I think to me it just seems to be the big red flags for me that I notice is that, again, it's often lauded that he makes brilliant recovery tackles, but it's often his own ineptitude that's led to him making recovery tackles. It's so frustrating time and time again to see a centre-back who has so many qualities that, as you rightly point out, would make him a top tier centre back. Like literally, he could be like up there as like generational talent. He looks absolutely prime to be incredible, but he just seems to just criminally switch off constantly, like, and ball watch. And also, I think one thing I would say that is glaring from his game is his aerial ability. I think he's terrible in the air. He seems to, I'm sure I'll probably get pointed out that, you know, the stats that disprove me potentially, but when I watch him, he just seems to not win any headers at all. He just irritates me. But it's more to the point that I just don't feel like you can ever trust him. And I feel that those top level players like Alderweireld, because you've seen Alderweireld snap at him a few times when they've played together, I think for them it's just as unsettling to have to play alongside him, and it affects their own game and their own concentration. But yeah, he is still young and there is a lot of quality there, but to me he's the type of player that, unfortunately, even if he does end up having that kind of Salah, De Bruyne style career rejuvenation, to me, he is an asset that we can potentially cash in on because he is a tantalising prospect for a bigger club than us, who can perhaps, as we were talking about at the top end of the show, incubate him, give him enough room to kind of grow and potentially grow in confidence and learn from those players around him, unlike a club like Spurs, where, to be honest, there is going to be this baptism of fire where he's thrown in and then gets caught in a negative cycle of second-guessing himself and having his confidence completely knocked constantly, potentially like we've seen with someone like Wan Foyth, who has kind of been chucked in at the deep end and been crucified for the mistakes that he's made. Because I kind of see them as quite similar in a way. Like, I see their kind of, like, qualities and frailties, if you like, in a very similar thing, in that I think both physically they... I look at Foyth and Sanchez and I think, fuck, that could have been Jan and Toby going forwards, were it not for the
fact that would have been the ideal.
Yeah, but I just feel that they've both been almost damaged by, again, what we've seen at Spurs in terms of, like, a lack of proper investment, having to have them thrown in, the wages issues that we see around Tottenham that... I don't know. To me, Sanchez is a player that I just think will always frustrate at Spurs, and I wouldn't be against... Because I don't think he's shit. This is the thing. I don't think he's a bad player. I think, though,
we've got bigger priorities to bin off and replace. I think it's one of those that we look at in a season or two at changing, or if we do get an unreal offer for him that we profit on and can then reuse to buy somebody else, then we look at doing it, because I'm not sure we can sell him and replace him with somebody as good or with as much of an upside as he potentially has.
Yeah.
So that's a concern for me, because I think we need to be doing this fantasy scenario where the director of football at Spurs, I think he's one that I keep on my books for now, because there's more people I need to get rid of, and I want to limit the amount of transactions I'm doing in bulk.
Fair. Eric Dier, I mean, I'll jump in straight away. For me, squad player. Like, he's very good. He's not great. He's played all right in defence since he's come back. We've seen errors from him, but we know those exist. I don't think he's terrible. Don't think he's very good. He's our... whatever, John O'Shea, you know? And that's it for me.
Really. Well, I think that's somewhat disrespectful to John O'Shea, to be honest. Peak John O'Shea. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think he is... I wrote something very early on in his first career where he had played centre-back, right-back, midfield, and I said he needs to pick a position and stick to it, or he's going to become a jack-of-all-trades and master of none. And that's exactly what's happened to him.
Yeah.
Because he's not a good enough centre-back to be a starting centre-back. He's... apparently doesn't want to play midfield, which was his best position for a time and where he showed his most potential. And I'd genuinely hate to see him at right back now, which is where he actually made his debut for us. So I think he's kind of been hamstrung by his ability to play several different positions. And if he's going to dig in and pick one, he should have done it years ago.
I think if
he had done so years ago, then he would have probably been sold, to be honest.
As we sort of said at the top end as well, I do think there is that caveat that injury has played its part with Eric Dier, and he's unfortunate in those circumstances, but, you know, it is what it is. If we're looking at where we're at now, it's, you know, he's a, like, as you say, he's a jack of all trades, master of none. He's a squad player,
And apparently in the press today he's asked for double his wages, so with that in mind I'd possibly be tempted to let him go.
I like him as a he seems like a decent human being. I think he's a decent
But Jack, going back to that point about sentiment I made, if we're going to start treating Tottenham, if we're going to start acting like the size of club that we want to be, then we'd fuck him off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Toby Alderweireld.
Toby I'd keep hold of. He's just signed a new contract. He's still good in the right system. I've always felt that his peak seasons were slight, not overrated, but I think too much was made of them. And I think I only say that because I think too little was made of Jan Vertonghen's part in that.
Definitely
I think he was massively disrespected during that period.
I think Jan Vertonghen is always disrespected by Spurs fans, and just in general.
Yeah. And I'd agree with that, but I think he's... We keep hold of him because we need a senior centre-back. It's one of those positions where you need a senior player in that position, and he signed the contract, he's tied down to the club, and he is a very good player in that position on his day, so we keep hold of him.
He's still got that aura about him where he... And, you know, being brutally honest here, I did kind of... like the idea of Mourinho maybe writing off this season and trialling Sanchez and Dier. You know, he sort of alluded to it himself, saying, I was trying to build with the future in mind, kind of thing. Trying to experiment.
But saying that, Jack, when I saw the team sheet last night and saw it was Toby and Jan at the back, I felt eminently more confident.
This
and
is exactly what I was going to.
Then I did when that's been Dier and Sanchez.
It was like the tail end of Ledley King's career, right? Even though we knew he was crap, the second you saw King's name starting on the team sheet, it's like you've gotten under a duvet. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, great, cool, that's sorted. You know. And I feel that, and that's moving on to Vertonghen, because it's sort of one bleeds into the other, so to speak. Vertonghen, I'd happily, I completely get now his legs are gone, he's not the player he once was, but I'd happily give him another year contract if you want to give him another 2 years, because I don't think it hurts to have players like him about the place for an FA Cup game, for a League Cup game, for players like Sanchez to learn from, if we are holding on to a player like Sanchez. He seems like a smart, switched on, as you say, elder statesman of the club. And maybe the type of player, really, that if we're to forensically look back at the Pochettino era, Pochettino probably lacked around the place. You know, hashtag about the place. But... for younger players, for the next generation, for whoever comes through, Dennis Kirkin or Harvey White, so on and so forth, coming through to learn from. I want them to be learning from players like Jan Vertonghen, experienced veterans who have been there and done it with Tottenham, you know?
Yeah, I would agree, but only if he's happy to play that role, because I have the inkling that he's not. And maybe. If not, then I would happily... I'd happily grant him his return to Ajax for 2-3 years to go and end his career where he wants to end it, and have 2-3 brilliant years there rather than having 2-3 mediocre years at Spurs. Because I think he's given his service to us now. He was here when we were shit as well, and he's been through this period and the Sherwood period, and I think that's enough credit in his bank to let him go. And I think he'll go with best wishes, and he will always be a legend to me.
Oh, absolutely. No, he should. He's one of the best defenders we've ever had. I'm sorry, he is.
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah. He was majestic. An incredible player. An incredible player.
And he still was in moments in that Champions League run last year and stuff. He was incredible.
Look at that Dortmund game. He was the home game. He was like a man possessed.
Mm. Yeah, and I think he genuinely cares and has affection for the club, and that means a lot. And even though I've made those points about sentiment, I think it would be one where, if I genuinely was the director of football in Spurs, I'd need to sit him down and look in the whites of his eyes and go, look, this is the reality of the situation. Do you want to be the old man about here and help us move into the future, or do you want us to let you go so you can be Billy Big Bollocks at Ajax or something like that? Because he could, if he went to... Back to the Eredivisie or whatever it's called. Eredivisie. Go full Farage. Or went to Serie A, then he'd piss it. But
I think Serie A is where he's got his... according to various other podcasts
Roma, Inter.
That I listen to, Roma or Inter, I think, Inter like collecting all their players, don't they? Because I think he actually sees Ajax as the club after his next club, if legend be true. Ben Davies, to me, I liken him to Eric Dier. I see why a lot of people get frustrated with him, but I don't think he's as bad as people make out by any stretch of the imagination. He's versatile. He plays pretty well in this kind of system that Mourinho has, where he's almost operating like a third centre back, and you've got Aurier, who's operating as almost like a solo kind of wing back, flying up and down with the defence kind of squeezing him. I think he's a fine player. I think we probably need somebody a bit more competitive and who can fly up and down the wing, who can be a bit more ballsy. But
I wouldn't even have him as our second choice left back. I'd have him as our utility centre back / left back. I think he's a body. I think he had a much higher ceiling and potential than what he's currently at. And I think Danny Rose being as good as he was unexpectedly under Pochettino somewhat stopped his development, which is unfortunate for him. Because had he been able to play week in, week out under Pochettino and get that fullback finishing score one-on-one with him a bit more, he may have been a bit better. But he's solid and reliable, but he's not spectacular. He's not going to be the best player on the park ever. I would be shocked if he'd ever been man of the match in his Tottenham career, given that he regularly was when he was at Swansea. I just think, he's a solid body to have around the place. And I think given the type of bloke he appears to be, I think he'd be happy to just pick up his check and do his job and stick around for a while.
Exactly. He's a player of a suitable quality to be a top six, top eight. Now we should probably expand that to squad player. That's fine. But the problem is, the reason why he gets these penalties is because we're relying on him to be our first team kind of start week in, week out.
And that's no fault of his own, because he shouldn't be in that position.
He shouldn't be. And that's, again, but when we're playing squad mismanagement.
Yeah, but when we're playing a League One team in the first round of the Carling Cup or whatever it's called now, Carabao Cup, then, Ben, you have your game. Or when we've got a game in Eastern Europe in a European game midweek and the group's already finished, then, Ben, you fucking jump on that plane and you do that, mate. But other than that, I don't want to be relying on him.
Yeah. Gedson Fernandes. I'd just keep it short
I haven't formulated an opinion on him. I have not seen him enough. I don't know what he does. I don't know what type of player he is.
My opinion on this is a scandal waiting to happen for Tottenham.
Do you think there's money under the table or something?
This isn't a reflection on his ability or anything like that. I just think it's such a weird... An 18-month deal for a seemingly... pretty unspectacular footballer who happens to be...
I think he was supposed to be the next big thing a couple of years ago, and then he's gone off the boil. So the thinking for bringing him in isn't completely sort of stupid, but it is weird. It does remind you of the weird loan deals we've had in the past, like Paulo Lopez and what was the other one? I don't think it was a loan deal, but we had that third choice keeper for years, the Croatian Stipe player close or something. Just somebody who's just randomly on our books for years and we never really get to know or have formulate an opinion on. I think he's another one of them.
Yeah, it's just weird, isn't it?
He's a young kid though, and he's got the potential to be good if he ever plays a game, but I'd almost want to loan him out again. But we can't loan out and loan him.
Yeah. Right. Getting into some big ones now, mate. Moussa Sissoko.
I think he's had his moment now. At best, he's a squad player, but I don't think he should be starting. And I know we've had this love affair with him after hating him and sort of lambasting him stopping centimetres shy of wishing death upon him and things. But it's nice that he's had that sort of resurrection and sort of come full circle with the supporters and everything. And I'm sure that's a good thing for him. But either if we're offered good money for him, I'd happily let him go, because I think he's severely limited and I don't want to see him start many football games anymore. I think he comes on and he does a job. He don't belong in the position he's currently playing in. He did well there under Pochettino and overperform there, but that's not where he should be playing his games, and we should be doing better than that. And it's no fault of his own that he is playing as much. It's nothing personal, but if we were to be cold-blooded and sort of black and white about these decisions and try and treat it as if we're maximising the potential of the squad, then if he's happy to sit on the bench and do the odd 10-15 minutes here and play the odd game here and there, hopefully on the right-hand side, then fine. But if he wants more than that, then I'd happily let him go.
What I like about Moussa Sissoko, Because, everything you say there is sound.
He's the opposite of Serge Aurier because he is eminently likable. I think does curry favour.
He's as like, because, you know, his technical ability, we all know it, is severely lacking. And I feel that in games that we want to, because it's funny, it's almost like, I feel like a lot of people say, save Sissoko for, you know, when we're playing fodder in the Premier League. But I almost disagree with that entirely in the respect that, like, games where I want us to just go out, boss a game, control it, I don't really want to see Sissoko in those games. Where I actually, oddly enough, like seeing Sissoko is basically playing against a team like Liverpool that is strict, that is disciplined, that is well-drilled, where we maybe need a bit of edge, where we need a bit of fight. And I think what Sissoko brings to the table is, and not even in the dog whistle racist way, he's an athlete. Like, he is an athlete. He runs all day, but he's just got such a drive, and he's got such a, I think genuinely the lad has a lot of pride in himself. I think he genuinely gives a shit. He gives a shit about being a professional and being seen as a professional. And what I do reject that I do think falls into that kind of, like, sort of dog whistle shit is that he doesn't care, that he's just there for a check, that he's a, because that's not the player. Maybe I thought it anecdotally at first with Sissoko because I didn't really get the measuring, but I do think he's a guy that does care about what he's doing. He cares about the team. He cares about his teammates. And I think he is one of those players that will go out and run himself into the ground because he wants to win. And, I think he's, again, he's important to have about the place. And I do think he can just be a bit of a wrecking ball to teams that are well organised, that are, you know, drilled and are coming for Spurs with a clear plan of intent, you know. And Sissoko, just because he just runs at them, he doesn't give teams or players time on the ball, and he will chase back, he'll surge forwards, he'll penetrate sort of another team's half, and I like that about him. What I don't like, though, is that he
is when he does penetrate that half and ends up in the final third and is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And when we want to control a game, like last night, a team like Bournemouth, that really, you know, we should be turning up to games like Bournemouth, with all due respect, but we should be turning up calm, assured, knowing we can ping the ball about, pass it around them, play the game exactly the way we want to play it, dictate play, and ultimately create our own chances and score. And I don't think
we should be looking to
that.
Should be, without trying to take these games and be disrespectful to teams, we should be looking at that as an opportunity to boost our goal difference.
Yeah,
that could be a 3-5 niller.
That's what Liverpool do
without getting into fifth gear.
But that's what Liverpool do. That's what City do. You know, okay, right. Yeah, both of them will run into a Watford or a Southampton here or there. But still, for the most part, that's what those top teams do. And that's what we did for a short time, especially 16, 17, 17, 18 kind of window. It's what Tottenham did. And it's what we became used to under Pochettino, operating really with a calm self-assuredness of a big club. Oh, well. Harry Winks.
I like Winksy, just keep him. He's the best player of his version that we have at the club. He's an effective midfielder, and in the right system and with the right partnership around him, he's very good at what he does. I think he's not a Mourinho-type player, and we won't see the best of him under Mourinho. But yeah, I'd more than happily keep him. I don't have any issues with him at all.
My hesitation with, because I agree, I don't want to see him gone. I think he's, again, he's versatile. He's a good squad player. I like that he's one of the few players in our fucking team. And this is something I need to strongly put in bold and underline, and maybe even change to red as a font colour. He's one of the few players in our team that can actually pass a fucking football, that can seemingly play a decent, crisp, short pass. Because that's one of the major failings across our squad, I see, when I watch us play, is how poor our short passing game is. Even from very, very good players, seemingly. That's about coaching, about drilling. But my one issue with Winks is I seem to think that, like, there's something there, and I don't want to delve too far into mentality, because ultimately you're not inside a player's head and you're second-guessing someone and projecting your own kind of theories onto someone's own mentality. But there is a slight concern with me that he plays better. Like, he bossed Real Madrid at Wembley, and he even bossed Real Madrid away at the Bernabeu. And it seems to be that he's the sort of player that can step up, and he revels in being an underdog, but also the freedom that comes with that, knowing that if he doesn't have a great game or if he does get shown up, people will say, he was playing against Luka Modric, what do you expect? Games where I want to see Winks kind of dictate things, he doesn't seem to. Like, again, like games like last night where I think, like, just come on, lad, like, be the player that, like, you probably can be. He just seems to shrink away from almost wanting to take responsibility a bit. And I quantify that by saying I think that manifests slightly in his passing suddenly becoming a bit more shielded, a bit more guarded, a bit more conservative, as opposed to playing some of those more, again, hit and hope, but penetrative, blah, 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 passes that are a bit riskier, that maybe are trying to pick out a Son who's making a run from somewhere. And I don't know. I think there's a very good footballer in there, but, there's nothing wrong with him. I like Winks. I'm not sure his ceiling is as high as I maybe thought it once was. But again, maybe it just takes the right type of manager to suddenly turn that around, and he is. So who knows? And he has been very unlucky with injuries as well, I should say. Gio Lo Celso.
One of our better players. Just keep him and build teams around him.
Yeah, 100%. Unbelievable. Unbelievable talent. He needs support around him, but brilliant. Ndombele.
Actually, let the boy play, man. I feel so sorry for him. I don't even think the fitness or weight thing's an issue anymore. Just actually let him play, let him be expressive, and stop beating him down, because he's, even more than Sanchez, he's the De Bruyne candidate for us.
He looked unbelievable when he came on yesterday. Like, he instantly changed the game in our favour. In that the start
shall,
of that.
Shall I tell you the
half,
reason why I don't think Mourinho likes him?
Go on.
He's fun. He's fun to watch, and we aren't fun to watch. Yeah. We haven't been for a while. It's not just a Mourinho thing, but Mourinho teams aren't regularly fun to watch. They're functional and they win, and there is, enough trophies in his cabinet to sort of back that up as being a reason to exist. But he's too fun. And I think that kind of bothers Mourinho, that almost risk factor of the fact that he might want to ping a pass, or he might want to try and dribble around a player, and isn't going to just be functional. He's going to want to be expressive. It's something that maybe makes him uncomfortable, and that's not something that makes Tottenham uncomfortable, because that's the type of player we like. That's the type of football we want to play. And I think him and Lo Celso in the same midfield with a proper defensive midfielder, even Lo Celso pushed further up if it was. Yeah, if Højbjerg's there, if Winks is there, if Ndombele's there, I think that's a fantastic midfield. I think that's it. Streets ahead of what we've currently got. And if he's actually unleashed, and even if it's like we play Højbjerg next to Winks and we let Ndombele just float in between the two of them or ahead of the two of them, perfect. Or Lo Celso ahead, just further ahead than him, I think that's a brilliant combination. And I think that's what we should be aspiring to have, because I think it's not just functional and not just better, but it will create the type of chances that we need further forward as well, because we're not creating chances. We get to the final third and now we're predictable and we're formulaic, and that's not the way we should be playing football.
Like, in conversation with people, I've been highly critical of Ndombele, mainly about the fitness stuff. And I still, like, you know, I'm sort of caught in this place now, because the only thing I slightly disagree with is that I do think, again, maybe the last, say, quarter of the match yesterday, he was, again, blowing out his arse. But I'm sort of thinking, is there
he's not played, though, has he?
Exactly, this is what I'm saying. I think there's maybe an air of confirmation bias in what I'm seeing there. But for me, like, from what we've been witnessing post-lockdown from Tottenham and the way we play, seeing him come on at half-time again, it was just suddenly like a breath of fresh air. And it was like we were talking about, you know, you can try and over-intellectualise this stuff, like with Alderweireld and Vertonghen, but you just know in your heart of hearts, your knee-jerk reaction to it was seeing Alderweireld and Vertonghen in the starting lineup. It felt good. And seeing Ndombele come on at half-time after that stale shite in the first half, and seeing him actually start to ping balls around and, as you say, be fun, it felt good watching him. And you're like, you know what? This lad's fucking class. Like, let's, you know, let's just try and make this work. But my fear is it's just not going to happen under Mourinho, which is a shame. And I can probably see him going to Barcelona and us getting maybe someone in exchange. Who knows? Dele Alli.
Dele, again, he's had his injury problems, but I think in the right system and under the right manager, he'll kick on. He's had a really tough year. I think he's almost been a victim of his own success, because we're expecting more from him, but he did just burst onto the scene, and trying to keep that up under the pressure of injuries and under the pressure of expectation has been difficult for him. I think he needs to play further up the field towards Kane. But he's one of those players where he might not need to start every game, but he's there for big games and he scores important goals and he plays himself into form, and we kind of need to just time that form right, because even this season he's shown that ability and shown that class, and he is a classy footballer when he's on it, but he just needs to be on it. So I'm not ready to give up on him, and I think he should be a pillar of the squad for years to come, for definite.
Really? Because I agree entirely. Other than, I think, with me, like, Dele is, he's one of, honestly, he's probably one of my favourite ever Spurs players. And I think the lad is, again, I think this idea that he's spent or he peaked too early is total bollocks. I think the lad is forgotten by a lot of people. And I think he is a generational talent. I think he is just such a unique and brilliantly gifted footballer. I just worry that he started to stagnate at Tottenham. I worry he's one of those players in that nucleus of like, I'm just a bit over Spurs. I think maybe he needs a change of scenery. I think wherever he goes, it could be a breath of fresh air for him again. And I could just see him reveling. I could see him like playing somewhere like City and just absolutely lapping it up and just suddenly having a sort of like the fire in his belly again. And like we saw when Mourinho first came in, you suddenly were like, fuck, there's Dele Alli. There he is again. Like, he's unbelievable. But I don't know whether there's too much water under the bridge or whatever. But if we're talking about Spurs who have no money and need to sell to reinvest, I might look at him as somebody who I say to, you know, a Bayern maybe, or to a City, how much would you give us for him, you know, and maybe move him on and see if we can do it amicably and for the good of him and for the good of us in the long term. Like, you know how we were talking
possibly
about, like,
I don't think we're
Ericsson,
there yet,
but maybe not, but I, you know, I just kind of get that feeling with him a bit that
He's a player that needs to be coached in the right way. And I don't
think
he's going
to
be
loved,
under the current
regime. He definitely needs to be loved as well, and he needs to be acknowledged.
And I think he really had that with Pochettino. Yeah. I think he was one of the hardest hit with Pochettino going. And I think his first few performances after that were just probably to remind people and to show what he can do, to try and probably work off some of the guilt that Pochettino had been sacked, because I think he was one of the first to come out and say that it's as much our fault as anyone else's that he's gone. I think he really did take that personally and take that hardly. So
I just think...
I'm not ready to give up on him.
Lest we forget a player that we literally signed from, what, League One? Who walked into the Premier League and instantly looked like one of the best players in the division. Like he's a generational talent. He is, and I just think he's a superbly gifted one. And you know, don't forget that. Even though I've just said we should sell him, but I'll give my reasons for that. Heung-min Son.
Again. Keep him. He's having a rough period at the moment, but he's had the odd period like this before where he doesn't score and stuff. And I can see him being one perhaps in a season or two that will probably quietly start making noises behind the scenes about wanting to go, because
if not already,
but I'd try and keep hold of him this summer if we can, because we're not going to replace him with anything better.
No, definitely not.
He's in one of those positions where, similar to Bale's sale, it's not a case of selling him and buying 10 more players that are going to make the squad better. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's probably more valuable to keep hold of him for a year because he's going to retain his value. And then if in a year's time we need to sell him to reinvest, then we can explore that possibility. But for now, no.
And not to sound dodgy, and I understand it's a trope, but it's in Son's case, it is very much an actual, tangible, real thing. His commercial value to the club as well is probably enormous.
Yeah, massively, massively.
Well, not
so.
Probably, and it's I think definitely that, enormous.
Yeah, if I think the players themselves say that, you know, when they're on pre-season tours and things, that the player that gets stopped the most and people want the most isn't even Kane, it's him.
Yeah.
So. I think if you were to probably judge the players on commercial value, it probably goes Son and then Kane, one and two.
Yeah, probably.
And then Ali, probably third.
Yeah. The only thing I would say of Son is that, as we said with Ericsson and such, is that if this summer Son is one of those players that's like...
If he's making massive noises to go out and he's unhappy, then yeah, we can try and get 100 million for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know. Not just good money, I think serious money for Son.
It would be 80 mil plus to me.
Like, yeah, you know. At the very least. And if it wasn't, then it's a bad deal.
Yeah. Lucas Moura.
He's a bench player. He's a very good impact sub because of his pace, but he's limited. I think, sentiment comes into it because of what he did in Ajax and stuff like that. And,
of course.
That is a factor, but he should be starting games against dross. So against Bournemouth and stuff like that, when we're actually in good form, then he can play because he will score and he will take the piss out of defenders with his pace. When he played, you know, Huddersfield at home last year and scored that trick, that's what he's there for. But he's not a starter in big games. He's not good enough. He's not technical enough. There's a reason why he didn't crack on at PSG or anywhere else. And there's a reason, without being disrespectful to ourselves, after PSG, he ended up at Spurs. So, he comes on the bench. He plays in more games than Ben Davies, but he doesn't start the biggest games and he's not relied upon as one of our best players because he's not.
That's pretty much it. Nothing further to add. Nailed it.
But what I would say to him is he's the best version and level of substitute that Spurs can retain at present.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like he's still a quality player in his own right. But yeah, like you say, he's a disruptor, isn't he? You know, he can.
Yeah,
he's the sort of player that there's still enough excitement there that if we are in a game like last night, for example, you get to like the 75th minute and you see Lucas warming up on the touchline, you think, decent, he can potentially do something here.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When defenders have got an hour in their legs and he's coming on to bash him for half hour fresh, then perfect.
Yeah.
But he's not, from the start, he's not going to get that, like, what do you call it? He's not even as good as peak Aaron Lennon, for example. He's just not that.
No, yeah, I'd agree. He's not. He's just not as disciplined even as Lennon was.
No. No, Aaron Lennon was brilliant going back and stuff, and Mara's not.
Criminally underrated player again, Aaron Lennon.
Aaron Lennon, yeah. If I could have peak Aaron Lennon in this squad, Harry Kane would be scoring 40 goals a season.
Yeah. Brilliant player. Eric Lamella.
Oh, I'd love Eric. And this is probably one where sentiment gets best of him, but I genuinely love him. I think we should keep him because... Even a little short burst and stuff. He's playing in this... When Lucas Moura starts, Eric Lamella starts sort of a thing, but I want him off the bench. Even in big games, I'd start him here and there because he's going to piss him off and he's going to be disruptive and he's nasty and we need some nastiness. And he clearly has some affinity for the club. He's not a type of player we have in anyone else. He's genuinely good as well. Like, this is probably the best he's been while he's been at Spurs. He's... really good on the ball. He never gives up. His attitude is correct. I really like him. Nobody's going to offer us amazing money to take him either. So I don't see it. As long as his wages aren't big, as long as he's not being disruptive behind the scenes, then he's one to keep for definite. He's a really good rotational player.
If he knew when to release a fucking football... he'd be a majestic player. Like if he knew him to
Eric,
shoot,
once you've beaten two or three lads, then you pass the ball. You don't need to beat the fourth and the fifth. We've seen you already dribble.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I do have real admiration and love for him. I
like a player that fucking harries and gets stuck in as much as he does in the final third as well. It's kind of he's like a tin pot. He's like a Poundland Oscar that Chelsea used to have, that sort of player that was dogged and a bastard in the final third. But I just think Oscar had more end product, more quality ultimately. Obviously.
Speaking of Oscar, Lamella might be one where he does get an offer from China at some point, and then he makes a go earn 400 grand a week. Then you go Eric, but for right now, then. No, keep him on the books.
Yeah,
because he doesn't seem displeased at his role in the squad, and his role in the squad is exactly what it needs to be. He's one of few players who he's actually managed within the squad as he should be.
We don't have a lot to base a strong opinion on this next player, but to me, Stevie Bergwijn he's special. I think he's going to be a very, very, very big player for Spurs. I think he's the early signs, at least to me, show that he's. He's got a spark. He's got something in him that seems fucking amazing. I'm very excited by him, to be honest.
I think he's part of our best 11 at present already. I think him on the right, Son on the left and Kane down the middle is our best front three. And I think he's versatile enough to swap sides with Son and even play in the middle occasionally. I think his work ethic and his personality and stuff are exactly what we want. And I think, he's going to be a bit of a cult hero and stuff, but he's got the skill and the ability to back it up as well. He's constantly impressive when he plays. And given the price he came in for and sort of the randomness of that signing, he is the type of signing we should have been making for 4 years now. And if we had, we wouldn't be in this position. But it's come 4 years too late. Yeah. But he's got a really high ceiling and he's coming at a good price and he's contributed from day one and that's what we want from incoming signings. And if we can keep up what we've done with Lo Celso, Bergwijn, even on Ndombele to an extent going forward, then perhaps we can paper over these cracks over the next summer and the summer after and the winter after. But it's going to take 2 seasons to get back to the point where we're actually competing. Next season, the focus is going to be back on getting fourth. I wouldn't even say higher than fourth. Fourth is what the aim should be. And, that'll be difficult against a Chelsea team that's heavily invested, a Man United team that is rediscovered its academy, and, City and Liverpool are shoo-ins for it already. Arsenal won't count in that. But then behind that, you've got Wolves who will then reinvest again and are very good and could kick on once more. And you've got no idea about the surprise packages either. If Carlo Ancelotti manages to Carlo Ancelotti managed to do something at Everton with his contact book, or if Sheffield United kick on again because they're very good, they might have a shit season next year, or they might be you know, another disruptive force, we don't know.
And this is so the thing, I think there's a lot of like derisory kind of, well done, plucky Sheffield United shit. I don't think those people are watching the same team. Sheffield United have been fucking brilliant this year. They're not just plucky and they're not, they're well drilled and they play decent fucking football, man. Like, they're a good side.
Yeah. And if they, and they're smart enough, Chris Wilder's smart enough now that he won't believe his own hype and break the nucleus of that squad. And it's not as if they play a system that people can find out. As it were, they will cop the odd defeat, and because they've essentially got Championship and League One players. But if they, over the next couple of seasons, they upgrade one or two players a year, but carry on playing at the same level and carry on being coached at the same level they are, then they won't be going anywhere in a hurry.
Finally, then, big one, mate, Mr. Harry Kane.
Oh, I'd sell him. I don't think he's good enough anymore. He doesn't, you know. I think he peaked a few years ago, didn't he?
Please don't.
That's a piss take, by the way. No,
it
speaks for itself, doesn't it? He goes when he wants to go. We're thankful for every second we have with him on the field. Anyone who says any different or tries to pretend that we're better without him or anything is stupider than Serge Aurier, which is going some.
Sitting it, you know, the thing is, the affinity I have for Harry Kane is I almost actually now just want him to get a big move, like in a weird way.
I've had that thought process myself, Jack, privately. I've not said it publicly, but I've watched him in this team and I kind of think, you know what, Harry, just go. And I'd really love him to.
I wouldn't begrudge him any second.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? It's like it's looking at Ledley King and thinking, fuck, a player of his... And I don't care, like, it's not a lily-white-tinted spectacles thing. Ledley King is probably the finest defender of his generation. Yep. And for the most part, is going to be forgotten, you know?
Look, if Ledley King had stayed fit, he wouldn't have been at Tottenham for as long as he was, and that's the long and short of it. He wouldn't have done what our previous captain would have done, but he would have ended up at Real Madrid with Woodgate or Man United or something like that, because they just would have paid the money that at that point Tottenham couldn't refuse and weren't in a position to refuse. And he would have been brilliant. He would have gone to one of those clubs. He would have become a stalwart of the England squad, and we would have seen his potential for what it was. He was, you know, if he was fit, then he would have probably gone to Man United before Ferdinand did and stuff like that. But it's just
instead he's opening Sainsbury's for Tottenham.
Yeah, it's really sad that,
and it's
really sad. But I get where you're coming from, and I do just want the best for the lad because he deserves it, and I want almost in the way where I'm secretly really happy that Gareth Bale's move went as well for him as it did. I know it's kind of sour now, but he's got, what, 4 Champions League winners' medals to his name?
Yeah. And
so
Kane,
you can't argue with that.
He needs his career, what he's produced, what he's given to the sport, I guess, for, you know, one of a better way of looking at it. He just... I don't know, his mindset and everything, it's emblematic of dragging yourself to brilliance, you know? Like you see,
you know,
he deserves it. He just deserves it. On a human level, he deserves it.
You know, he's often compared with Lewandowski for obvious reasons, but if you look at what Lewandowski did, where he was brilliant at Dortmund for a few years, won a few things with them, but then still got that move to Bayern, I don't even think now, if you ask Dortmund fans, if they begrudge him of all the things he's won with you know, Bayern and everything, whether or not they think that was the wrong move or hate him for it or anything, I think secretly they'd probably go, you know what, fair fucks to him, he's brilliant and he's won everything he does, that type of talent deserves to win in the game. And I think
if it's not Arsenal or Chelsea, you know, do you know what, now,
and I don't think it would be.
No.
It'll be, and I don't even think it'll be Man United now. I think it'll probably be abroad. I think it'd be Juventus or Madrid.
Maybe even Barca. Maybe.
I don't think Barca would go for it, but Juventus or Madrid, I think, is probably where he'd end up.
Like maybe if Poch goes PSG or something, maybe somewhere like that.
Yeah, perhaps. Know. But I think he'd want to go to a league with a bit more prestige.
Yeah. I'd even take as much as I would love to get paid
a shitload to live in Paris would be my dream, but
I still wouldn't discount City maybe going for him.
Possibly.
I still think there's something there. And
I can't picture him in Sky Blue, but I'm sure I'll get used to it at some point.
So many goals at City. He'd scored so...
Yeah, can you imagine if Kevin De Bruyne was feeding him? Fuck me.
Again, there's this ridiculously, like, to me anyway, overly intellectual take on Harry Kane and his legs being gone and this and that. The guy scores fuck loads of goals. There's only so many times we can say it. If you give him an opportunity, he'll score a goal. And we're not creating decent quality opportunities for him. He's just not getting them at Tottenham anymore. That's why he's not scoring as many, but he's still scoring loads of goals, really, relatively speaking. Yeah. And he'd score so many. Or at Liverpool, if he replaced Firmino, he'd score so many goals. But anyway.
I don't want him to go to Liverpool. That would be distasteful.
It'd be pretty grim, wouldn't it? But yeah, so there we go. Head to tail. That's a pretty good ranty cathartic Rule the Roost podcast, because I don't really want to talk about us playing Arsenal this weekend, because fuck knows.
No, it's going to be grim, isn't it? Two shit teams playing shit football. Amazing.
Yeah, and they just maybe seem like...
I hope somebody puts two... If Eric Dier wants to put 2 feet through Guendouzi... Oh, he's not... He's suspended, isn't he?
Yeah.
If Eric Lamella wants to ankle rake Guendouzi, then happy days.
Do it. I'm not.
He's a little shit.
I don't really know what I can. You know, the other thing is, like, they've got momentum. We clearly don't at the moment. But again,
do you know, Jackie, this weird season that we've got being played in stupid rules with five subs that is apparently going to become an ongoing thing with VAR that's wank and all this sort of shit. I don't even want to talk about the games because I don't look forward to them and I don't enjoy them. And it's not just because we're shit, it's because everything around the game at the moment is shit. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing enjoyable about this season of football.
Sorry, isn't it?
Especially in the current form. Yeah, and I think it's, like I say, it was a business decision to bring it back. And I think any sporting integrity or anything of that is long since dissipated. And I just don't see any value in it. And that is genuinely destroying my enjoyment of it. Even if Spurs were, you know, 20 points clear at the top of the league and that, it would still feel shit because nobody's there. There's nothing to do. It's just empty. It's vacuous. I don't enjoy it. It's glorified pre-season nonsense, but that's just my opinion.
And it's a fine opinion and one I share. So... Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Raj. I think that has been quite cathartic, and
nice to bitch for an hour and a half.
That's it, and I hope you've all enjoyed listening. But well, no, I don't really. Just
we don't care.
No,
we genuinely don't care.
You're all pigs. Oh.
fucking cunts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.